Here we are. This is it. 9 games to go. Get ready for the sprint. It's not a marathon anymore. You're in the final 1,000 meters of your marathon. Are you going to trip at the finish line, or are you going to power through with the tape across your chest? This is it. Let's have some fun. Let's preview the big week ahead for the Brew Crew.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. I hope you're feeling refreshed after that awful, because buckle up. I've said it all month long, really. This is it. Here we go. 9 games to go to the end of the regular season. What did I tell y'all in week one? I told y'all in week one, this is coming down to the final week of the season. Now, I thought it was going to be for the division. However, turns out it's going to be for the wild card. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long, Monday through Friday episodes. I might do a little switcheroo on you this weekend, by the way. I think we're going to do pods for the weekend as well for the games. Obviously those games matter too. I don't want to disappear for a couple of days after the Brewers have these big games coming up against the Marlins. So we are going to truly be daily from now until the end of the regular season. Unless the Brewers get eliminated before that. Just saying, I'm not looking forward. If the Brewers go on a 4-game losing streak heading to the weekend, no, we're not doing weekend pods. But that's the plan as of right now. I want to give you all the content y'all deserve. So I'm the postgame host at WTMJ. You can also catch these shows live when I'm on postgame with WTMJ. I am kind of repeating myself in some of these things if you listened to both already, but you can participate in the live shows as well while calling into WTMJ. We're on about 15, 20 minutes as soon as the game ends. On the flagship, you can listen online as well, 620 WTMJ, and have some fun with it. You can text me, you can tweet me, you can call in and actually hear your voice on the show. So I would really, really love to hear some participation from you guys this week on our post-game shows on WTMJ. Home games, always fun, should be rocking, and the Cardinals are in town. The Brewers are 6.5 games back. Everybody was off yesterday, so it's going to be a short episode today just for the fact of, well, I can sit here and repeat myself, but 6.5 games back. The Brewers have 9 games to go. The Cardinals have 8 games to go. On a technicality, if the Brewers lose game one, they don't technically, the magic number is technically 3. But if the Brewers lose game one, it's virtually clinched for the Cardinals, because the best the Brewers could do is tie, which means the Cardinals would get the spot, obviously, for the division. So virtually, if the Brewers lose any game, it's over, but I think the Cardinals would wait until it's firmly official that they can celebrate. But the point is, if the Brewers go 2-0, the Cardinals do not get to celebrate here at American Family Field. Keep that in mind moving forward, as the Brewers did that to them a couple of years ago, and they're going to want to do it to them here in Milwaukee. So now that they got 700 out of the way, and they've got all that, you know, with the Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina stuff out of the way, they just want to get it done as soon as possible. I mean, they're in the playoffs, obviously, but they would like to do it. I mean, just like you would like to do it on your rival's turf. So just be prepared for that this week with all the Cardinals fans in attendance this week. But once again, the reminder of the standings and how things look right now. The Brewers enter today, still 1.5 games, but technically 2.5 games back of a wild card spot. It's currently number 2, San Diego. They're 3 games clear, technically 4 games clear, of the Brew Crew. The San Diego is 85-68. Then it's Philadelphia. They're 83-69. 1.5 games clear of Milwaukee, who is 82-71. Philadelphia has one more game than the rest of these teams. They have a doubleheader coming up on Saturday against the Nationals. Here's the remaining schedule for the Brew Crew. 2 this week, starting today and tomorrow, against St. Louis. Then 4 games over the weekend against the Marlins. You will see Sandy Alcantara this weekend. And then next week, Monday through Wednesday, the postponed lockout series put on to the end of the season. What was supposed to start the season with the Diamondbacks will now end with the Diamondbacks coming up Monday through Wednesday of next week. So that's what the Brewers have remaining. These last 2 games are their only ones against a team above 500. As for San Diego, the team in the 2 spot, but definitely not out of the woods yet. They've got 3 more games with LA starting tonight. Those 3 games are in San Diego. Then they've got 3 at home, the Chicago White Sox, who are formally eliminated from playoff contention, all but certainly. They're 1 more loss and they're out of the wild card race, so they're out. So they don't have much to play for right now. And then they'll finish things up with San Francisco to end the regular season Monday through Wednesday of next week. And then finally, Philadelphia in the three spot. Again, three games in Chicago at Wrigley coming up this week. Then the four games in Washington coming up with a doubleheader on Saturday against the lowly Nats. And then finally, they finish in Houston, three games against the Astros. That, again, is a lockout reschedule for them. More on that series and more on these guys individually coming up in just a little bit. Again, short episode today, but I just want to remind everybody what things are laid out with right now and looking ahead to the pitching for the Brew Crew. They're healthy. They expect Freddy Peralta to make another start, just like they expect Eric Lauer to make another start. Things are looking okay in that front. You would hope, with everybody slated to probably get two more looks, that they can give you a little more length than they gave you in Cincinnati. Tonight, it'll be Adrian Hauser. Tomorrow, it'll be Brandon Woodruff. Thursday, it's slated to be Eric Lauer. And then Friday, it's slated to be Corbin Burnes. That would tentatively be Corbin Burnes versus Sandy Alcantara. Sign me up for that. And then Saturday would be Freddy Peralta. And it depends if they want to flash Aaron Ashby in there for a flash start. That's why I say it's dependent. None of this is official yet. But if I were the Brewers, I would keep Ashby in that tandem bullpen role and see what you get out of him. Or unless you want to start Ashby and flip it and have Peralta be the tandem role, whereas they set the lineup for a left-handed pitcher on the mound with Ashby, and then Peralta comes in after him facing all of these righties, that would be something Craig Counsell would do, in my opinion. So that's what's ahead for the Brew Crew, at least in the next turn through the rotation. And as it looks right now, we talked about this in yesterday's episode, it would be looking at the final rotation for the Brew Crew. Monday against the Diamondbacks, it would be Brandon Woodruff. Tuesday would be Eric Lauer, and then Wednesday would be Corbin Burnes. That's as of now, based on days of rest, unless somebody decides to go on a day less of rest, which, quite frankly, as it shakes out right now, it all works out having your best in that final series against Arizona. We want to get into these individual teams and what they have remaining. I want to tell you a little bit about these teams, and then we'll get ready to say a quick little goodbye today, more in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to tell you about one of our presenting sponsors here on the Locked On Network, Bet Online, your number one source for everything football, college football, NFL. Hey, NBA's right around the corner. NHL's right around the corner. Bet Online remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. I'm recording during Monday Night Football, and don't throw a shoe at me, but I'm a Cowboys fan. If that takes away my Wisconsin card, I understand. I was born in Texas, guys. I'm sorry. But look, if the Cowboys inevitably lose on Monday Night Football last night, which quite frankly, as a Cowboys fan, I'm used to them losing in primetime games, especially to the Giants, you could bet on it at betonline.net. Where the game starts. I want to tell you a little bit about the Philadelphia Phillies, because it's been a while since the Brewers have seen the Phillies. They saw them very early in the year in April. Eric Lauer shoved against them on Sunday Night Baseball. Remember, that was really fun. They won 2 out of 3. They had Corbin Burnes pitch well. Devin Williams was on fire. There was the infamous Angel Hernandez game with Kyle Schwarber went on his full-on tantrum with Angel Hernandez calling a strike three on a save situation from Hader and Schwarber. So that was fun. But then, so the Brewers win that series and have a whole lot of fun. And then that, what's looking even worse and worse by the day, the losing streak from the beginning of June and that whole stretch of the Brewers where they lost, I believe it was 9 of 10 games that really is going to derail them if they don't make it into the postseason. That's what I'm going to circle. I'm not going to circle the trade deadline. I'm going to circle that week in June of the reason why the Brewers didn't make the playoffs when their offense completely disappeared, including against the Phillies. They got swept by the Phillies, including the first blown save of the year by Josh Hader in the first game of that series. Then they got blown out 10-0, and then they lost 8-3 in a game started by Corbin Burnes. So it's been a while since the Brewers have seen them. They're pretty much the same team, healthier now, obviously, though, because this was during the stretch that the Brewers were just getting Willy Adames back. He had just come back from the injured list from his sprained ankle. Andrew McCutchen was not quite yet back into form. Christian Yelich had just started being a leadoff hitter that series. Looking at that box score, it's kind of wild to look at of the Brewers' struggling hitters and the bullpen that was used. The Brewers and the Phillies are very different teams in the way they've gone about their records. The Phillies are a wacky, streaky team. They've got 2 5-game losing streaks this season, and they've got 4 other 4-game losing streaks this season. But yet, on the flip side, they've got a 9-game winning streak this season and 3 separate 5-game winning streaks. The Brewers have had 1 5-game winning streak all season long, and that was back in April. And they failed to do that on Sunday to make it a 5-game winning streak in their loss against the Reds. So the Phillies are a streaky, streaky, streaky team. And as you know by now, Joe Girardi started the team as their manager. He was fired after a 22-29 start. And since then, Rob Thompson, he has won 61 of the first 100 games as a manager for him. For Rob Thompson, that actually sets a Phillies franchise record for the most wins in the first 100 games as acting manager. Quite frankly, I've talked about this with some other writers that I know Buck Showalter is going to get a lot of love for what he's doing back in the manager chair with the Mets. But you can't ignore Rob Thompson. If they make it into the postseason, my vote would be to Rob Thompson for manager of the year in the National League. On the flip side, if Craig Counsell pulls this off, he's going to steal some votes as well. Rob Thompson, they've really been playing well for him. And JT Realmuto has been their prime source of offense, along with Kyle Schwarber, a career-high 42 homers, but Bryce Harper's missed the majority of the year with a broken hand. He has not really been the same since coming off the IL. They don't have a true closer. They've been riding their starting pitching, but they do have back-to-back really easy opponents coming up. They got the Cubs, who, shockingly enough, the Cubs swept the Phillies coming out of the All-Star break earlier this year. So this is the second time they're meeting head-to-head, first time in Wrigley. And then also, they get to face Washington, 4 games against them. By the way, they're 13-2 this year against the Nationals, so don't expect much from that. And then they're also outscoring the Nationals by 50 runs, 5-0, 50. And then finally finish up with Houston, who they haven't seen this year in interleague play. Astros might be chasing a franchise record for most wins. It's unlikely they get there, though, with only 9 games remaining. Astros are at 101 wins right now. They would need 107 to tie the franchise record for wins in a season from 2019. Is there something to play for there? I don't know. I've always said maybe they're setting up their pitching for that week. Remains to be seen. That's your quick preview of what's to come for the Phillies. Now let's talk about the San Diego Padres. The Padres, they're getting ready for the Dodgers, and the Brewers need one more series of help from the Dodgers. San Diego is just 4-12 head-to-head against LA this season, which for a team that won the trade deadline, quote-unquote, to still have the division clinched in late August, early September is what it felt like, was really wacky to see. I mean, shoot, I saw the joke on MLB Network, and I repeated it here saying, like, well, the Dodgers won the division in April. I mean, this was never going to be a question if San Diego was going to get the job done, especially when Tatis Jr. wasn't going to be back, and now the steroids, and it's just wild, wild year down in San Diego in Bob Melvin's first season in San Diego. Remember, Bob Melvin was brought there to win. He was a winning manager for a small market team in Oakland with, you know, getting the sum of his parts so incredibly well, you know, not having all the flashy toys. Obviously, that team was torn down this past offseason. The A's let Bob Melvin go to the Padres knowing that they were going to do that to the A's roster and said, you go manage a winner. You don't need to stay here for another rebuild process. And Bob Melvin is a winning manager. Remember, Bob Melvin is kind of the mentor of Craig Counsell. So these two managers are going to, you're going to find very similar styles, very similar quotes in the media, the way they handle their players. Players rave about them, which quite frankly is the name of the game. If you don't want to have that rift between the manager's office and the clubhouse, Bob Melvin's a very, very good manager, and he's getting some unfair heat in my opinion. From national media of why haven't they been succeeding. Like, look, they've had a tumultuous year. And maybe they're a flawed roster from the beginning. But they got LA remaining. Then they've also got the White Sox, who they haven't faced in interleague play this year, who are virtually out of playoff contention. And they finish with San Francisco. And they're 11-5 against San Francisco, but that doesn't tell the whole story. They're 11-5, but yet they're only +2 in the run differential. 71-69 in the head-to-head series this year. That's a wacky low number, in my opinion, because San Diego can't hit. Their ballpark, playing at home may sound like an advantage. That is a pitcher's paradise. They cannot hit. And the Brewers, look, I know a lot of folks are mad about the hitter market too. And I get it. They need to get a hitter, and you want to say that. I'm like, I am going to say it until I'm blue in the face. The hitter market was not that good this year. I am going to stand firmly pat in that. It is not worth it to give up a Bryce Turang, a Joey Weimer, a Jackson Churio, a Sal Frelick, a Garrett Mitchell, an Este Uri Ruiz. Well, granted, you acquired Ruiz, but you get my point of to get a rental bat that may have not fitted into your scheme anyway. I thought the only fit would have been Trey Mancini, and they got beat to the punch on him. Josh Bell would have been nice, but he was always going to be packaged with Juan Soto. Look at the numbers since they went to San Diego. They're not impressive. Juan Soto has been the same on-base guy and batting average guy, but his slugging percentage has gone down by 86 points since going to San Diego. He's not hitting for nearly as much power since going to San Diego. Brandon Drury, he had that epic first week, right? He hit the grand slam in his first at-bat of the Padre. Completely cooled down since then. His on-base is just 265. Yes, the slugging is 450. 226 batting average. He's been playing all over the place on defense because they need him to. That honeymoon phase is over for Brandon Drury. And then how about Josh Bell? Josh Bell, since going to the Padres, is hitting 191 with an on-base of just 310 and a slug of just 280. A 590 OPS since going to the Padres. I'm not guaranteeing that that was going to happen if he came to Milwaukee. I'm not saying that. And Josh Bell is a very good hitter. He's going to have a heck of a time on the free agent market this year. But just shows you how fickle it can be when it seems like, oh, Josh Bell and Juan Soto, that's a slam dunk. It's not always a slam dunk. And I'm not trying to dunk on Brewers fans saying, oh, Dom, they needed to get a bat, and you know it. There wasn't much out there this year. I promise you. Go back and look at it. Joey Gallo was not a fit. Jock Peterson was not a fit. The Cubs were not going to trade Happ or Caratini within the division. It was not a good year for hitters. Okay? And the Brewers, quite frankly, have had underperformances with the guy they thought was an everyday first baseman from Rowdy Tellez. Adames has got hot to try to save grace. Yelich is still hitting a bunch of singles out there in left field, but they've had no production in center field. They've had no production at third base, and now their catchers are out of gas too. So that's where the flaws really come in for the Brew Crew, because there weren't easy upgrades coming with the Brewers at the trade deadline. Okay, I digress. The Brewers are going to need some help, plain and simple. And for the Phillies and for the Padres, I think they're both in play. Yes, San Diego's technically 3 games/4 games up on the Brew Crew, but they've got their hardest opponent remaining with the Dodgers. San Francisco could play them tough down the stretch, and who knows what Chicago's going to do. They're going to play a spoiler. They're going to play with house money down the stretch, try to finish strong, even though they're not going to make the postseason. So just wanted to take a quick peek at what's remaining, a reminder of what's going on with each of those teams, and imagine the script if the Brewers can somehow click it into gear. And I'm going to show you why there's history to believe they can click it into gear in the final segment here. If the Brewers can click it into gear and it's San Diego that gets knocked out, right? Wouldn't that be incredible? What a story it would be. What a story it would be. I want to tell you about some Craig Timber stuff, some stats that I find a little interesting. More on that in just a second. We've talked about Craig Timber. It hasn't really been Craig Timber this year. Not going to sugarcoat it. They're 13-11 overall in the month. Not great. But I tweeted this yesterday. You may or may not have seen it. That since the Brewers first fell out of a playoff spot on August 6th, if it feels like, man, it feels like the Brewers have been 2 or 3 games back for the last month and a half. It's because they have been. Since they fell out of the playoff spot on August 6th, here's the records for the Padres, the Phillies, and the Brewers. The Brewers, 24-22. The Phillies, 24-21. The Padres, 24-19. So the Brewers are technically 3 games more than the Padres, but all 3 of those games they've lost. 1 more game than the Phillies, they've lost it. And the Phillies, 2 more games than the Padres, and they've lost it. See what I'm saying? They all have the same win total, but the team that's played more games has lost more games. That's where I go back to circle that 31 games and 31 days, the 18 games and 17 days. It gassed this team. And remember, coming out of the off day last week, getting ready for the Yankees, how well did they play coming out of that series? How well did they play coming out of with fresh bodies? Against the Reds even, too. This could be the perfectly timed final off day for the Brewers to kick it back into gear for these final 9 games of the season. So I want to look back, excluding 2021, because the division was wrapped up in 2021. The Brewers didn't have much to play for. They kind of lost their juice. They didn't play well down the stretch last year. Let's go back to 2018. Craig Timber was born. The Brewers went 20-7 in September and October that year. They were 2.5 games back of the division with just 6 games to go. Obviously, they were playing head-to-head with the Cardinals, which certainly helped. You don't get that luxury here with the teams you're chasing with Philadelphia and San Diego, so keep that in mind. But again, they were 2.5 games back with 6 games to go. The Brewers ended 2018 on an 8-game winning streak, which means heading into that final stretch, they were 12-7 before they won those final 8 games in a row. So there's precedence there. Well, Dom, that's 2018. That's so long ago. Well, that team made it to the CS, and I don't think anybody expected that team to make it to the CS. Let's go to 2019. Team that made it to the wildcard game, ultimately lost to the World Series champion, Washington Nationals. Guess what they were in September? 20-7. And guess what they did? They had an epic winning streak down the stretch. Now, they were chasing the whole way. They got it within a game for the final 3 games in Colorado. I don't have to remind you of how that sweep went. That was very frustrating, of course. They ended up going to the wild card game despite having won 7 games in a row heading to Colorado, then losing 3 straight with back-to-back walk-offs to send them to the wild card game, which obviously Trent Grisham, Juan Soto, all that happened. I know, PTSD. It's okay. Nonetheless, the Brewers pulled off an epic run in the final week of the season to ensure themselves into the postseason and try to find a way to try to win the division. That obviously didn't happen. So here they are in 2022. I told you they're 13-11 overall in September. But since the doubleheader against the Giants, they are 11-6, which doesn't sound great, but it's in the top half of the National League. In fact, it's better than the Padres and the Phillies. 11-6 since the doubleheader against the Giants. And with 9 to go, let's say the Brewers pull off another epic winning streak, which would be shocking because their longest winning streak of the year is 5 games. If the Brewers pull off a 9-game winning streak to get them into the postseason, they would be 20-7 for their final 27 games. Coincidence? I think not. Just saying. Numbers, they work in a mysterious way, but obviously you got to win all 9. That's no easy task, and it starts tonight with the Cardinals coming to town. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, rah, 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 yes, 100% they're making the postseason. There's a lot of things about this team that is flawed. There's a lot of things that they've maybe overperformed sometimes and underperformed in other areas. We can talk about middle relief. We could talk about the closing situation post Josh Hader. We could talk about the middle of this order. But the Brewers, by the sum of their parts, should be able to find a 7-2 run somewhere in there by the full extent of their team. All that's left to do is believe, have some fun, and enjoy some baseball. It's fall, man. How about this weather, right? Doesn't this feel like October? We're just a couple of days away, so it's going to be a whole lot of fun. 6:40 first pitch tonight. Remember earlier first pitches now that school is back in session. 6:40 first pitch tonight. Miles Michaelis against Adrian Hauser. Tomorrow, a lefty. It'll be Jose Quintana instead of Jack Flaherty. Jose Quintana getting the start against Brandon Woodruff, also at 6:40. Night games over the weekend against the Marlins, 6:40 on Thursday, 7:10 on Friday, 6:10 on Saturday, and then finally Sunday, October 2nd, my birthday, by the way, it'll be 1:10 against the Marlins, but that's down the road. Quick little episode today. Thank you for listening. All right, let's have some fun. All right, just put a smile on your face. Let's enjoy some baseball. All right, hope to see you at the ballpark. My name is Dominic Catronio. You can follow the show account at Locked On Brewers or myself at Dom_Catronio, Cotronio. All right, fun episode. Until next time, hopefully recapping a win on WTMJ tonight. Keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.